Alexis, so good to see you. Happy Father's Day, everybody. It is Father's Day, and we celebrate our Father in heaven, but we also get to celebrate our dads here on this earth. And what a joy it is, you know? It's such an honor to be able to do that. I was thinking about this as I was just kind of praying and preparing this morning. I was thinking about a couple years ago, I was watching a superhero movie. How many like a good superhero movie? Anybody? Nobody? A couple people? I was watching a superhero movie, and I remember, you know, the Lord beginning to speak to me. And he speaks to me through all kinds of ways and movies sometimes. But I'm watching all these, you know, Iron Man and Thor and all these ones fly through the air. And they have all these, like, incredible supernatural giftings that they're typically a superhero is born with, right? And so I'm watching this, and the Holy Spirit speaks to me, and he says, these superheroes are born with this ability. They are born with this ability to push back darkness. They're born with this ability to defeat the enemy, save the world. And he said, he whispered in my heart, and he said, but real heroes are made. Real heroes are made day by day. And it's the day-to-day yes to Jesus. It's the day-to-day yes to your family. It's the day-to-day, you know, in the grind. It's the day-to-day on the battlefield. It's the day-to-day on the front lines when you feel like, am I even making a difference? Is my life making a difference? I don't have a big S on my chest. Am I doing anything that is significant? But it is the day-to-day yeses in our life that actually turns you into the hero that your family needs. And it turns you into the hero that your community needs. And so God just really whispered that into my heart, that heroes are made and fathers are made, and that it's made not in this big moment, but it's the day-to-day yes. Amen? And so I celebrate you all today, the ones, the dads in this house, for your commitment, for your sacrifice, for your love, for your families, for all that you've done. And I celebrate you, and I just pray that God would increase you in this year. And that God would draw many to you that you would be able to pour into in this season. Joe, you're highlighted to me. I feel like, Joe, that you're coming into a season, yes, in Africa, but I feel like there's going to be those that come around you and you're going to be like a father. I feel like you've been a great student. You've been a great learner. And you've come under great fathers, and I feel like the Lord is saying, I'm going to bring specific ones to come under you, and you're going to be a father. You're going to be able to pour the wisdom, and you're going to be able to pour the knowledge that you've gained in business, in ministry, in missions. I feel like he's going to supply three specific people into your life in this upcoming season. And it could be in Africa, but it could be in America. So look for the spiritual sons that will come around you. And so, Father, I thank you for spiritual sons and daughters. God, I thank you that you're doing a new work inside of all of us. And I thank you that this is a season of acceleration. This is a season of movement. This is a season of momentum. Lord, even when all hell is breaking loose in our nation and all hell is breaking loose in the nations of the world, God, you still sit on the throne. Amen. You are still holy. You are still good. And so we cling to your word today, Jesus. We love you with all of our heart. Come, Holy Spirit. Just breathe your fresh wind in this house today, God. Breathe your fresh wind in this house, God. Just destroy anything that is getting in the way of our relationship with you. Come, Holy Spirit. Just put your hands out and say, come, Holy Spirit. Say, come, Holy Spirit. Ha. Father, we pray you would bless this day, bless this message, this word. I thank you, Jesus, for such a time as this. That we have brought been brought to this time in history for such a time as this. I feel it is a great honor and privilege, Lord, that you entrust us as the church for this hour, for this time, that you believe that we have what it takes to overcome in darkness, to overcome in a most difficult situation. You believe in us that much. And Father, for that we say thank you. God, I just pray for your grace and anointing on these words today. And we love you, Jesus. We worship you. And we just lean into you, God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Amen. I asked Patrick to stay up here with me as I felt like there was a real grace. There's always there's a grace on his life, but I just felt like there was this moment where I was reminded of the scriptures where Saul called in David, and he began to minister and he began to sing, and these spirits left. I believe as we begin to preach, as we begin to talk and teach, and as he begins to worship and play behind me, I believe that spirits are leaving this place in Jesus' name. I believe that mindsets are being broken. Hearts are being healed. The greatest gift that we can give our Father in heaven is a heart that's totally sold out for him. It's a heart that's on fire for him. It's a heart that says yes to him. I'm going to try and preach. I just want to pray. Daniel chapter 6. I want to talk to you about from the book of Daniel again. Somebody say Daniel. Last week we were talking from Daniel chapter 3. I love the book of Daniel, and I feel it's very important for where we are in history, where we are as Americans. You know, I said this last week, but Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego, and Daniel, they found themselves in a very politically charged environment. There was a lot of wickedness going on in the land, and we find ourselves in a very politically charged environment. Amen? Amen? To say the least. So last week there was these three young boys, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, that were accused and were... The king said, I want you to bow down to this image. They said, no, we're not going to bow down, and we're going to serve our God. And he knew that they weren't going to bow down, but he tests them, and they don't bow, and so he throws them in the fire. We know that there was a fourth one in the fire, and they are delivered. They are rescued. It's amazing. Such a powerful story. But we come to this next part, which I just love, probably even more than that story, and it's the story of Daniel in the lion's den. Somebody say hallelujah. This is good stuff. Remember what it says about Daniel in chapter 1. It says, and in all matters of wisdom and understanding about which the king examined them, he found them. He talked about Daniel and his friends. He found them 10 times better than all the magicians and astrologers who were in his realm. Thus Daniel continued until the first year of King Cyrus. It says a lot of awesome things about this young Daniel. Humble, blameless. It says in chapter 6, verse 3, that Daniel distinguished himself above the governors because an excellent spirit was in him. And the king gave thought to setting him over the whole realm. So he has an excellent spirit. He has a humble spirit, a blameless spirit. And he was a man that just believed God. I mean, but think about this for a moment. Here's Daniel, and he gets taken into captivity at around 15 or 16 years old. And it was just such a plan of the devil, you know, like they wanted to destroy the temple. They wanted to destroy everything that the Lord was doing. And they wanted to take the heart of the nation, which was the young men who would raise up to be prophets and kings and leaders in their country. They took the heart of the nation captive. And they took them into Babylon. And so at 15 or 16 years old, this young boy is taken into captivity. And he has an excellent spirit, a blameless spirit, a humble spirit, and he was a man that believed God all the days of his life. Now you say, okay, well that's great. Did the lion's story happen just shortly after this, and he was still kind of fired up because he just came out of his homeland. He's got some fire in his bones. No, actually, this happened when he was in his mid-80s. He was thrown into the lion's den when he was in his mid-80s. Like, sink your teeth into that for a minute. And so this challenges me and convicts me because I see a man in a process, and I see a man that never gives up hope. I see a man that never gives up believing. No matter if he's in captivity, no matter if he's in his homeland, no matter whatever the season is, he just keeps believing. And he continues to have an excellent spirit. And an excellent spirit you will get promoted. You will stand before great men and women. The Bible tells us that. Hallelujah. Just kind of keep getting into this flow with the guitar. It's okay. I told you to play, so it's good. Just pray. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. You know, here's Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. They were taken into captivity. Do you think they wanted to be taken captive? No. And I feel like this is kind of where we are as a nation right now and where we are as the church. We've been pulled into a place that we did not want to be in. I don't want to deal with this virus. What? Shut down our economy? Shut down the church for 3 months? We did not want to get pulled into this. This is nothing we asked for. This is nothing we certainly prayed for. And so it could kind of feel like we've just been pulled into this season of captivity. Then you have all these economic problems and people are losing jobs and going bankrupt across the country. And then you have racial tension. Storm and storm and storm. And it could feel like this setting, this politically charged setting where the church has been grabbed and we're being moved into a place that we didn't ask to be. But I think that God knows what he's doing. And I believe that God is saying, if I just have a couple of Daniels, if I just have a few men like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, you're going to be okay. If there's a couple people that will not bow down to false images, false gods, false theologies, false political ideas, if we do not bow down, but we continue to trust in the Lord, it's going to be okay. So here's Daniel. Daniel is in this moment in time that is a little bit frightening. He's in his mid-80s. And it says that the king really liked him. He liked what was, and he wanted to elevate him in the kingdom. He wanted to elevate him over everybody else. And so we know the story that there were the enemy. These ones that had they just didn't like him. They didn't like who he was. They didn't like that he was a Hebrew. They didn't like God in his life. They didn't like how he worshiped. They didn't like the excellent spirit. There was things that rubbed them the wrong way about how he carried himself. And so they said, we're going to make a trap. We're going to trap Daniel. And so they scheme and they plan and they conjure up this little wicked plan. And they say, oh, how are we going to get this guy? Because, you know, the king likes him. So what are we going to do? And so they come up with this nasty little plan, right? And we know the story. I'm kind of just telling you my version. They come up with this nasty little plan and they say, okay, we'll get him. This is how we'll get him. We'll just make this decree that nobody can worship anybody but the king. Nobody can give praise to anybody but the king. And if anybody is seen doing this, heard doing this, they will be thrown into the lion's den. And so they bring this to the king. They say, what do you think? Is this a good idea? And he's like, yeah, whatever. Yeah, cool. I'm the king. I'll stamp that. You know, not even thinking about Daniel. And so they're like, yes, we got him. And I think this is where the enemy is right now. The enemy has used people as pawns in this nation to try to destroy the church. And so the enemy's like, oh, I got him. I got him. I'm going to keep them quiet. I'm going to shut them down. I'm going to shut them out of their churches. I'm going to shut their families down. I'm going to shut their businesses down. I got them. But we know the end of the story. Amen. So they try to sabotage Daniel's life. They bring this before the king. He puts his stamp on it. And then they begin to watch and wait. And Daniel gets wind of this. He gets wind of this decree. And he knows something in his spirit says, this isn't right. I know this came from the king. I know this is coming out, but I cannot obey this right now because it is contrary to what is in my spirit. It's contrary to what the word of God is telling me to do. And so I have to worship and pray to God Almighty. And so he continues to do this. And he's like, actually, I'm just going to be a little bit louder. I'm going to open my windows. You're going to hear me. I'm going to do this three times a day. You're going to hear me. Everybody's going to know what's going on. And I love this because that's called discernment. Discernment. Because there's going to be all kinds of things that come at us and want our attention, want our affection, want us to bow down and give allegiance to this and give allegiance to that. And, you know, there's so many agendas out there right now. You have to know, where is the Lord speaking? What does the Word of God say? With all the political agendas that are going crazy right now, what is God saying? You know, I've mentioned this for a few weeks, and maybe it makes you cringe when I talk about it, but it's okay. It's like, I think we need to begin to talk about certain things, because the pulpit has been quiet for far too long. Not this pulpit, although I have been sometimes, but just in general, across the entire nation. Yes. But there's organizations like Black Lives Matter. Just listen to me just for a moment. I love, and we as a church, we support every single black person in this country. And I will fight for the black community. I will lift their hands. I will pray for them. I will go to war for them. I love the black community. Amen. I love the Hispanic community. I love the Asian community. I love these different ethnic groups. With all of my heart, I do. And I believe our nation loves all different ethnic groups. And there is a plan to make us feel like, no, we're just racist. You're just a racist person, and we need to be divided. And it's such a plan, you know. And if you research Black Lives Matter, I'm making you uncomfortable, but if you research this, you will find out that it is a political organization. And they give millions upon millions of dollars to Planned Parenthood. Yep. Planned Parenthood, who kills black babies. Yep. Who kills, murders little innocent children. I cannot stand with that. I will never bow down and kneel for Black Lives Matter. I will stand with my black brothers and sisters, and I will pray with them. I will, you know, do anything I can to make them feel liberated, make them feel free, but I cannot get behind political agendas. And it makes me so sad that so many pastors have bowed down to this thinking, oh, it's just social justice, brother. No, it's not. It's like looking at something through this narrow lens, but you're not looking at it through the lens of the Father.
Right.
Yes, He loves humanity. I'm making you uncomfortable. But listen, it's okay, because if Daniel can have discernment, I believe we can have discernment.
Yeah.
We have to. And it's like this is the plan. See, the enemy wants to divide us. He wants to divide us. And it's like, it's such a weird moment in time where you can't say anything online. If you don't say hashtag Black Lives Matter, then you're a racist. If you say too much, you're a racist. It's like, it's such a political spirit. And you have to recognize that.
Yes.
And just say, okay, I'm going to worship God. I'm going to pray. And I'm going to see revival coming into this land.
Amen.
Amen. And so they scheme, they plan. All right, I'm done talking about that. You're like, whew, okay, let's move on. MoveOn.org, right? No, but some things have to be talked about. And so they make this scheme, and the king is actually very upset because he realizes, okay, yes, we have to do this because it's in paper. I put my signet stamp on it. We have to do this, but I'm very upset because I love Daniel. I saw greatness in him. And he's upset at this, and he can't. The Bible says he loses sleep that night, and he actually fasts, and he's calling out to Daniel's God, and he doesn't want Daniel to die, and so it says in let's see, verse 16. And the king gave the command. They brought Daniel and they cast him into the den of lions. But the king spoke, saying to Daniel, "Your God, whom you serve continually, he will deliver you." Then a stone was brought and laid on the mouth of the den. And the king sealed it with his own signet ring and with the signets of the lords, that the Lord purpose concerning Daniel might not be changed. So he's thrown into the lion's den in his mid-80s. And here's a man with an excellent spirit. Here's a man that was blameless. Here's a man that walked in humility. And here's a man that kept believing God. And I love that Daniel, he did not try to fight the lions, which he could have. In the back of his mind, he could have been like, "Oh, David, yes, David totally killed a lion. I'm going to do this. I'm going to go after these lions. I'm going to break their arms and break their jaws. And I'm going to do it. I'm going to be like David." You know, he could have just like gone after it, but he didn't. He could have ran away. He could have tried to run away and said, "This is too much for me. This is overwhelming. I can't handle this. Why are they doing this to me? Am I in my 80s? Like, this isn't fair. I'm innocent." And he could have tried to run and, you know, kind of hide away from the lions all night. But he didn't do that either. And I think many times we want to do this in our nation. In California. "Oh, California's too hard. I've seen so many people. I just got to leave." But if we leave, then who's left? If the whole church just says this is a wicked state and I can't stand the laws, I can't stand everything happening and being passed down in California, then who's left? There has to be a praying people in this church. In this church, in this state. The remnant. I love that he didn't run away. Let's read. It says in verse 20. So the king he doesn't know what's going on. He's afraid. And so he comes to the cave the next day. And he says, "And when he came to the den, he cried out with a lamenting voice to Daniel. The king spoke, saying to Daniel, 'Daniel, servant of the living God, has your God, whom you serve continually, been able to deliver you from the lions?' Then Daniel said to the king, 'O king, live forever. My God sent his angel and shut the lions' mouths so that they have not hurt me because I was found innocent before him. And also, O king, I have done no wrong before you. Now the king was exceedingly glad for him and commanded that they should take Daniel up out of the den. So Daniel was taken out of the den, and no injury whatever was found on him, because he believed in his God. Amen. Amen. So listen to this. I just feel we're in this moment in time where we're facing lions and where we're facing impossible situations. It feels like a very uncomfortable situation. And some of us, there's people in this room, never mind the virus, never mind these racial tensions and the economy. You're like, I'm already facing a bunch of lions. Whether it's marital issues, financial issues, sickness in your body, there's different things that could make us feel like I'm going to be mauled by lions right now. And you want to give up and you want to run away. And so all of a sudden, all these things are happening in your individual life. And then you get thrust with all this stuff happening nationally. And it could be overwhelming. But I believe God is giving us a spirit of Daniel. That we would walk with humility. We would walk with an excellent spirit. We would walk with a blameless spirit. We would be a people that no matter what comes at us, we would say, we believe in God. I believe in God when I'm in my homeland. I believe in God when the testimonies are flowing. I believe in God when the healing's flowing. I believe in God when I get that financial miracle. I believe in God when my loved one passes away. I believe in God when I stand and I watch a casket go into the ground. I believe in God when my daughter is fighting a disease that is from the pit of hell. I believe in God no matter what gets thrown at my life. I believe in God. I will stand and I will believe. We have to be a people that stands and believes no matter what has been thrown at us. And this is the time that God is saying, I need my church to put her boots on. Take your dancing shoes off for a moment. Dancing's later. Now it's time for war. And God is saying, put on your combat boots. And it is time to engage in battle. It is time to engage in war. It is time to take serious your prayer life. Thank you, Lord. And praise and worship. Amen. Amen. I just believe that the greatest revival that we've ever seen is about to happen. I know that, Bob Jones was a great prophet, and he prophesied that when the Chiefs win the Super Bowl, a great revival would take place in this nation like we've never seen. And, you see all these funny memes on Facebook. There was one I saw yesterday. It's like Kermit the Frog is standing at the window. And he's like, oh, is that thunder I hear? I don't know, but the way 2020 is going, maybe it's Godzilla. It's like it's been that kind of year, right? And so a lot of us are like, how in the world could revival come? How could this happen? Well, I think Daniel probably said the very same thing. I think these guys that were conspiring against him were thinking the very same thing. But God delivered Daniel out of the lion's den supernaturally. You see, he realized, I don't have to run from my problems, but I actually have dominion over my problems. I have dominion over these lions right now. The lions that want to feast on me, the lions that want to feast on my soul, on my relationships, on my church, on our state, on our country. We have dominion.
That's right.
Yes.
Daniel recognized this, and so he could stand with peace, and he could stand like a lamb being led to the slaughter, as it says about Jesus. He could stand there and knowing that God was going to rescue him. And we can too. That's called believing God. I love it. It's like the Waymaker song. Even when I don't see it, you're working. Don't be like a Thomas to have to put our finger in the nail print holes. Just be a believing believer. Hallelujah.
Yeah, right.
And so listen, so Daniel was taken out of the den. No injury, whatever, was found on him because he believed in his God. And the king gave the command, and they brought those men who had accused Daniel, and they cast them into the den of lions. Them, their children, their wives. It's intense. And the lions, listen to this. The lions overpowered them and broke all their bones into pieces before they ever came to the bottom of the den. That's intense. Come on. What the enemy meant for evil. What the enemy meant for evil, God will turn it around and use it for good. The very thing, I mean, it's just seemed like such a hellish season, but God is turning it around. He's going to turn around families. He's going to turn around businesses, turn around the economy. I believe we're going to see a great revival like we've never seen before. Great, not even revival, but reformation. Like we've never seen before in this great country. I believe, you know, there was a time when there was such a move of God in the early 1900s, the Azusa Street Revival. And God began to turn the heart of America back to heaven.
Yes.
And something began to shift in this great nation. And there was a missionary movement that was birthed like never before. Missionaries began to get sent all over the world. And we begin to sow the gospel into the nations. And so I believe we are entering into a season where that very thing is going to happen once again.
Yes.
And not just in overseas, but even in America. There's going to be people coming alive with the gospel, getting sent into all parts of our own nation. And it's just an exciting time to be alive. Amen. So, and justice. There's justice. So the enemy wants to kill us. The enemy wants to shut you down and shut you up, and there's people with wrong motives in your own life and in your personal life. There's people with bad motives. And this is a season where God's going to flip the script.
Yes, He is. Amen.
He's going to flip the script. And the very ones that have tried to sabotage you, the very ones that have tried to throw you under the bus, God is going to flip the script. And spiritually, we're not going to feed them to real lions, but I believe spiritually they will feed themselves to the spiritual lions.
Yeah.
And they're just going to feel like, what's happening to me? But it's all in the Bible. What you sow, you shall reap.
Yes.
And so if people are sowing destruction into other people's lives, they are going to reap destruction.
Amen.
That's why we want to be careful with our mouth. We want to be careful with our tongue. We want to be careful with what we're sowing into our relationships and into our friends' lives and into our churches. And be careful. Because we're always sowing seed. Are you sowing good seed, or are you sowing seed that's going to overtake you with destruction later? And the king gave a command, and they brought those men who had accused Daniel, and they cast them into the den of lions. Them, their children, they overpowered them, broke all their bones into pieces, before they even came to the bottom of the den. But listen to this. Then the king gave this decree, and he wrote this, to all peoples, nations, and languages that dwell in the earth, peace be multiplied to you. I make a decree that in every dominion of my kingdom, man must tremble and fear before the God of Daniel, for he is the living God, and he's steadfast forever. His kingdom is the one which shall not be destroyed, and his dominion shall endure to the very end.
Amen.
He delivers and he rescues, and he works signs and wonders in heaven and on earth.
Yes.
Who has delivered Daniel from the power of the lions? So this Daniel prospered in the reign of Darius and in the reign of Cyrus the Persian. This is awesome. Listen, I mean, this is exactly the kind of moment we're in right now. We're facing just uncertainty in so many arenas. But think about Daniel for a moment. A good, God-fearing Hebrew boy, ripped out of his home, taken into captivity, keeps believing God all the days of his life. His yes to God was stronger in his 80s than it was when he was 15 years old. I love this. I remember hearing Bill Johnson one time at a church service, and he said, I love coming around young people that are just so on fire and so passionate for Jesus. But he said, but here's my challenge for you. He said, come back in 30 years, and I want to see that same fire and passion, and let's have a cup of coffee. Can you stay with the same passion, with the same excitement, with the same fire after you've walked through life? After you've walked through so many trials and tribulations and so much stuff like Daniel has, and he's still excited about God. He's still just throwing his windows open and saying, I'm just going to worship him. I'm going to pray to him. He's still holy. Life has thrown me some curveballs, but he's still a good father. He's still a good father. And that's what this whole day is about. You know, I just woke up with such an appreciation and just a heart of thanksgiving for Father, for our God in heaven, for our dad in heaven. Like, he's a good dad. He's a good father. He's merciful. But listen to this. So Daniel, at one moment, he is facing death. Like, the lions are going to kill him, destroy him, crush him to pieces. In the next moment, he's delivered supernaturally, and the king makes a decree, and people begin to get saved. People begin to give their lives to the Lord, to the Father at this time, and the whole nation changes in a day. I believe we're going to see this kind of revival. We're going to see this kind of reformation. And we need revival. I believe revival is for us, for the church, for those that have lost your fire. I believe God wants to refire us and bring revival into us. But reformation is for the nation. And I believe we're coming into a great time right now where there's going to be such a reformation that's going to hit this nation and hit the nations of the world. I was talking to my buddy Soto in Mongolia, and I feel that very same thing. This is a worldwide movement that God is doing. There is a united church. The church is more united than it has ever been in history. So why don't you close your eyes with me? Let's just kind of sing and wait on the Lord for a moment. Father, I thank you, Jesus. I thank you so much. I thank you for this time in history, that we are rising up like a people like Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Lord, we will be a people of no compromise. We will be a people that our yes is stronger today than it was when we first said yes to you. That we will be an excellent spirit people, a blameless people, believing believers. God, give us a heart like Daniel right now. Give us a heart like Daniel right now. See, the Bible says in 1 Peter that the enemy is like a lion. He's seeking whom he may devour. So there is a devil, there is an enemy that wants to destroy you. He wants to destroy your family. And he tries to gain access into our mind. He tries to speak lies over us. And as soon as we believe that lie, we begin to meditate on that lie. And he begins to gain access into our life by a lie. But Jesus is the Lion of the tribe of Judah. We just partner with that lion right now. I just want to just close your eyes and put your hands in front of you. Just picture Jesus, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, roaring over you. Roaring over you. And shutting the mouths of the lions. Shutting the mouths of everything that has been trying to stop you and quench your spirit and destroy you. See Jesus right now quenching the fiery darts, shutting the mouths of the lion, and roaring over you. Come on. Father, I thank you that there is freedom in your roar. That there is joy in your roar. That there's laughter in your roar. God, roar over your people today. Roar over our nation today. God, roar over California, Atlanta, Minneapolis. God, all these states that are just experiencing so much upheaval and so much disunity, God, I pray, roar over your people. We pray, God, over our police officers. We just pray, God, for their mental health right now, that you would protect them, strengthen them, Lord, in a time where everybody is treating them like an enemy. We pray, God, that you would gird them up. We pray you would surround them with supernatural angels from on high, warring angels, dispatch angels. Protect them, Lord. God, and the very plan that has been thrust into this nation to divide people, we expose that plan now. And we just say once again, prophetically, that we are a people united.
Yes.
We are the United States of America.
Yes.
And we stand united. Every race, every creed, every color, we stand united because we are brothers and sisters in the Lord. And so, God, I just pray that this nation would get a revelation. Lord, let a great... just a great revival. Something happened on 4th of July. I said this last week, but I believe something, let something be birthed in our nation again. Let a great unity be just released upon your people, Father God. Yeah, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, God. Hallelujah, hallelujah.
Draw us near, God. Draw us near to you. Where else would I want to be than in your presence, Lord? Where else would I want to be than with you, faithful Father, lover of my soul, one who gave his all for me, one who gave his all for me. I remember all you gave. No place I would rather be, no place I would rather be, no place I would rather be than here in your love, here in your love. No place I would rather be, no place I would rather be, no place I would rather be than here in your love. Here in your love, set a fire down in my soul that I can't contain, that I can't control. I want more of you, God. I want more of you, God. Set a fire down in my soul that I can't contain, that I can't control. I want more of you, God. I want more. God, where else would I want to be than with you, lover of my soul?
I want to do something just kind of prophetically, and we're going to sing another song, or we'll end. But you know, when Daniel was facing hardship, and when this decree came that was challenged his faith, could potentially put a spirit of fear into him, his response was this. Now Daniel knew that the writing was signed, and so he went home in his upper room with his windows open toward Jerusalem, and he knelt down on his knees 3 times that day, and he prayed and he gave thanks before his God, as was his custom since his early days. So we're going to sing a song, and I just want us to just prophetically do this, if you can. If you can get on your knees and just kneel before God, He is the one that we bow down to. He is the one that is the lifter of our heads. I believe He brought that same posture into the lion's den. He recognized that He could do nothing in His own strength. So there's a battle going on, but we cannot do anything in our own strength. We have to fight in the Spirit by turning our eyes to Him.
The Lord bless you and keep you. Make His face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn His face toward you and give you peace. The Lord bless you and keep you. Make His face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn His face toward you and give you peace. Amen. Your family and your children and your children may His favor be upon you and a thousand generations and your family. shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face toward you and give you peace.
Hallelujah. Thank you, God. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father, for your blessing. Thank you, Father, for your goodness. Thank you, Father, for restoration in our land, for reconciliation, Jesus. Thank you, Father. Hallelujah. Thank you, God, for your grace upon every person in this room right now. Lord, if there's a lie that we've been believing, I pray, just as we talked last week, break the neck of the snake. Break the neck of the snake, of the lie that we've been believing that has just enslaved us in our emotions and in our minds. Break the neck of the snake in Jesus' name. God, we thank you for freedom. Who the Son sets free is free indeed. And I just want to do one more thing. I just kind of felt this as we were singing this song. I just want to sing this kind of prophetically over our nation. In a time where there is unrest, civil unrest, and people are just going crazy, we just need the blessing of the Father upon our nation. I just want people's eyes to be opened and hearts to be awakened to a good Father on this Father's Day. Lord, let's just sing this prophetically over our county, over Mammoth, over every person that's coming to vacation, that they would not just come on a vacation, but they would be encountered by the Creator of the universe. They would experience the blessing of the Father wherever they are. That would go into our state and go into our nation. Let's just sing this one last time. And I just want you to picture that one that's out there on the lake. I want you to picture that one that's just doing something with their kids. And all of a sudden, they just get hit by the Spirit of God. They just get overwhelmed by the mercy of God, by the goodness of God in the land of the living. Come on, let's just sing this.
May his favor be upon you and a thousand generations and your family and your children and their children and their children. May his presence go before you and behind you and beside you. All around you and within you, he is with you, he is with you. In the morning, in the evening, in your coming and your going, in your weeping and rejoicing, he is for you, 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 he is for you.
CBN had on my app something that fits right in the spirit of what Pastor Mike has been talking about. It says, deputy saves BLM protesters' dying child in dramatic video. This was posted by the LA Times yesterday. LA Police Department. And This happened on the 31st of May, just after the Floyd incident. In the midst of unprecedented protests nationwide against men and women who serve as police officers, incidents continue to happen and police continue to be called on in times of trouble. This happened in Palmdale when a woman with an 11-year-old child ran out of a, you know what BML is? BLM? Okay, because I don't like to say it. They called it BLM, so it's Black Lives Matter. She ran out of the protest into the parking lot to a police officer. She had 11-month-old baby who was suffocating, and she went to the police officer for help. As it turned out, the police officer dislodged a coin that was blocking her airways and saved the child's life. Now listen to this. This is so cool. He says, according to NBC4, the woman ran to the deputy in the parking lot. Deputy Cameron Kinsey then began attempting to dislodge whatever was in the baby's mouth before finally issuing several blows to the baby's back. These people are trained for things like this. That's why we have police. Right. Turns out the child had swallowed a coin. Kinsey was asked about the protest. According to The Blaze, his response was succinct. None of that other stuff matters, just the baby. Yeah. How cool. You know, so there is hope. There's things happening. Now, this happened a little bit ago, but this is happening all day, all the time. Sometimes we get to see it, sometimes we don't. But the Spirit of God is helping mend this thing by that type of thing. That lady knew what to do. She needed to get help, and the police officer knew what to do to give that help and to save that child. And that's what really, really matters. So, Father, we thank you for the anointing of God in this land. We thank you, Father, that Jesus Christ is Lord over this. Holy Spirit has preeminence and is getting things changed. We're not moved by what we see today, but we're moved by what the Word of God says. And these times will change, and the Spirit of God will bring us into unity, Father, in the name of Jesus. We love people. That's why we're here. That's why we go to church. That's why we visit the Spirit of God, to bring us into a position to do more and more to help people around us. So, Father, we thank you for that. And as we release the people today in this church, Father, we just thank you for Father's Day, but we also thank you for the people that you come in contact with. Be bold, be vigilant to see what the Holy Spirit, what Holy Spirit has to say through you to these people. And so, Father, we just cast all of the care upon you, and we just declare Jesus is Lord of our nation and of this region and of our church. Amen?
Mike, Karen just was came over to me, and she said that we need to pray for you to have courage in this time, because he's our mantle. He's the man that carries he's our shepherd. And Lord, we just thank you for Mike. Lord, we pray that there's iron in his soul, Father God, that he has got the compassion of Jesus, and he's got the authority that he needs to tell the truth every time, to speak the truth without wavering, Lord, that he will speak into our lives transformation and regeneration, to love one another, to be able to bring union in this place that will prevail in every type of testing, Lord. That when we're tested against each other, that we are, when we are rubbing each other and it seems to be bringing conflict, it's only you trying to grind off the hard edges in the things of this life. And Lord, I just pray for Mike that you set angels around his family. Yeah. Father God, that warring angels, Father God, yeah, that will fight for him, that he will be in a bubble of protection, but not in a bubble that he can't hear the influences of this world, Father God, so he knows what to discern. between good and evil, Father God, and that he will stand and be a testament of your love to us, Lord. That he will bring the truth in love, but he will not waver, will not compromise, because he's an uncompromising, righteous man of God that will stand with integrity and the truth will set us free. And Lord, I pray that you humble, not fight against the world, to fight against our flesh that is trying to bring enmity in this place, Father God. But Lord, a binding of love and peace and joy through the power and wisdom of Mike Geringer and the anointing of the Holy Spirit, Father God, that will cause this place to grow and to be the pillar of righteousness in this community, Lord. Father God, that he will declare the word of the Lord, the now word of the Lord, that he will have a nowness in his spirit that will be just like the word coming off the presses of heaven. And Lord, we just thank you, God, that that your lightning will go before him, your thunder will crash, and the enemy will flee. And the clear sound of the trumpets of God will be heard through church and the church. But a move of the Spirit, the such a glory. Because our mission of the leadership that you have called to rule and reign in this place, to see the glory of the God in the land of the living, Lord. Because when people see your glory, when they see your goodness, when they see you speaking through this man, and the signs and wonders shall follow those who believe in my name. I believe, Mike, that right now signs and wonders are going to start happening in such a way that people, oh God, people are going to come running. But not even there. As we become better, Father God, as Joshua was in the land, because of the word of the Lord coming through this man in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Well, I receive that in the name of Jesus. That's a good word. Thank you. Happy Father's Day. We love you all. Please get a gift in the back. If you didn't, if there's a dad or a husband that's not here, grab one and give it to them. We love you and hope you have a wonderful day. Look at that, 12 o'clock on the dot. Doesn't get any better than that. God bless you. Have a beautiful day. Eat some barbecue. Enjoy the Lord. Enjoy your families. And we'll see you next week. God bless.